There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-355-1493. 1-800-355-1493. That's 1-800-355-1493.
This is Your Hidden Power, a program aimed at having you understand things that may be all around you that you're curious about, but you really haven't been able to think it through. I don't know about you, but many of the decisions I made, I say this frequently here and elsewhere, fear-based decisions are always wrong, but I made lots of them, and you have too. So when your mind is made up, you learn that you're going to stick to your guns, and I think that makes you less fearful. So with that in mind, I'm going to introduce you to Tiffany Maloney, who has a long career involving her extra senses. She learned early on that as she had dreams, there was more, or at least she thought there was more to life, whether she was thinking it in those terms as an adult. She certainly understands that now. She owns Love Yoga in Beaumont, Texas, certified as an ERYT 500. So there's where we start, Tiffany. What's an ERYT?
Yeah, hi. ERYT stands for Experienced Registered Yoga Teacher.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, which just simply, it allows me to train other teachers through my school, and it just shows kind of the experience level, how long I've been teaching. Yeah.
So what was it like when you were a child? When did you first realize that there were things going on in your head and your experience that weren't the same as what perhaps some of your friends were going through?
It was pretty early on. I was about 5 or 6, 7, around that age. I'm an only child, so I spent a lot of time alone. But there was just something in the air that I could sense that none of my friends would pick up on. And it was very different from a child's imagination. I would have prophetic dreams. So I would have these very vivid dreams, and then a couple of days later, something would happen that was exactly what I had dreamed.
Do you remember an example of that, the dreams that you were having, and what happened as a result of what was going through your mind at that age?
Yeah, sure. One of them was when my great-grandmother passed.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was about 6. And I dreamed about the things going on around her death. I didn't see her. I didn't see her pass. But I saw my mother and my grandmother weeping, a lot of sadness surrounding my mother. And I had that in my dream. And I never spoke up until I actually saw my mom sitting in my grandmother's house and weeping. And then I told her that I had dreamed about it.
And what'd she say?
She was not too surprised. I think they always knew that I had kind of an extra sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I can say this now because it's easier to be different when you're an adult than it is when you're a child. I was different as a child, and you sound like you were different as a child. And instead of trying, we didn't understand when we were younger that the best way to deal with stuff like that was to get away from the people. If you're spending time with people who you don't like or who are making fun of you or just you're uncomfortable around, then you change the people you're playing with. You have a different atmosphere. I've learned that as an adult. didn't know it as a child, and it was very difficult. How did you deal with that sort of thing? Did you have friends, and did they understand you? What went on?
Not at all. As a young child, I just assumed everyone had these experiences.
Really?
And I would talk very openly about it. And not just dreams or kind of precognitive vision, but, you know, I would do magic as a child and not realizing I was doing magic, but it was ingrained in me. I would do earth rituals, and ritual is a large part of my life now. And it just came through me as if it was channeled through me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what I was doing. I would have a friend over from school, and I would say, okay, now we go and we take this plant, and we're going to rub this plant on this tree, and we're going to put our hands on the tree and talk to the tree. And I was doing earth rituals without ever being taught them.
Mm.
And I lost a lot of friends because they thought I was weird.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time alone as a kid.
What were some of those rituals like that you were doing when you were younger?
Oh, gosh. I'm just glad I didn't have access to fire, because I would just haphazardly mix things together. Like I said, things with trees and the outdoors. I would ritualize how I place branches and leaves and stacking rocks. I mean, these are things I still do now, but I understand what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, it was from a very childlike perspective. But no one had ever taught me what that was.
Well, that's probably a good thing. Then when you get down to brass tacks, better to have your own fresh experience.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Well, definitely. You sound like you're kind of the same cloth as I am. I don't talk about, I do more now because, again, after life's experiences, I don't really care whether people think I'm nuts or not. it just is the way I feel, and it's a comfortable feeling. I feel comfortable.
Yes.
I feel like it's okay. So you get it, fine. If you don't, that's all right. It's up to you. I'm not here to persuade you that the way I think is the best way to think. It just is the way I think and the way you do as well. Tiffany Maloney is here with us. If you go, you can communicate with her on Twitter at Tiffany Maloney, MALONEY, to inquire about some of her experiences. I think there's a lot of progressive thinking going on in Texas. Austin is a quite different place than is Dallas, at least in my experience. Tiffany, you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah. And so in terms of yoga, people use it. Everybody tells me I should have. I've got a stiff back. I've got hip issues and leg issues and stuff. And I do a lot of stretching. But the yoga that I experienced, I didn't like. So I didn't go back to it. I thought the lessons were too long. And I did that hot yoga, which made me miserable. what am I missing here?
So many things. You know, yoga is not a workout. It's a work in. And as Western practitioners of yoga, many teachers have taken the spirituality out of yoga. And the mind, body, and soul connection out of yoga. And they've strictly made it a workout. And the problem with that is that we already live in a state of fight flight all the time.
Yeah.
And yoga should be something that helps you balance out your sympathetic nervous system and should make you feel more aligned, body, mind, spirit.
Mm-hmm. And that's, there is a direct connection. Yeah. Go ahead.
Take any one of those elements out is to deflate what yoga really is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you say that. I have a friend who was going to yoga with some frequency, and she didn't want to go unless there was a meditative point, there was something more to it than just the exercise, mindfulness, whatever ingredients you want to put into it. But having the meditative part of it was important, and I can see where that is important. we were talking about meditation and yoga. What about, let's talk for a minute about the sacredness of meditation. I'm not setting aside time every day, but I do once a week now work with somebody that really brings me around into almost another world. How do you work with yourself and others?
Well, I include meditation in all of my yoga classes, minimum of 10 to 15 minutes. And it really, truly is a commitment to daily stillness. And when you begin, it's like training a puppy to sit. Mm. You know, that puppy may sit for a second and then it's all over the place.
Right.
And it's a matter of just training it again and again and again until that stillness is automatic. And it's your connect, your direct source to connection to the divine. That chakra, that energy center at the crown of the head, that's your connection to divine source. So meditation is not about prayer. It's not about intention setting. It's about listening. So when you get to that still point, that void, and listen, those universal messages begin to come through.
People say,
but it's a daily practice.
Yeah, that there's just that you're just hearing things. Well, why would you, this is what bugs me sometimes, or I get a kick out of it actually, why people try to break apart that which is obviously good for them. Oh, well, you know, it's this, that, or the other thing. It really comes from mind control. And in this circumstance, when you're in meditation, you have control of your mind, not somebody else.
Exactly. That's the true meditation, is you controlling the busyness of your mind so that when you're off the cushion, off of your practice, it applies to everyday life. So when you're in maybe a stress-inducing situation, you can go to your still point. When you're in pain, you can go to your still point. It's applicable to all situations.
Well, one of the things that I think is hardest here is getting yourself, your mind to quiet down. That's the biggest challenge for me. I think everybody will tell you the same thing. And it has been now, I practice it sort of as I go to sleep, and it's with my breath. I'm becoming more conscious of my breath.
Yes. It should always start that way. Mm-hmm. Just like yoga, the physical practice of yoga. It should always begin with breath. Becoming aware of breath, life, prana, moving in and out of your body.
Mm-hmm. Meditation is a ritual. There are other rituals that people go through, and have natives in our country been going through rituals since their beginning of their existence. And one wonders how that connects, you know, it's stars, the moon, things like that. And we've had a very vivacious moon cycle the last few months, haven't we?
Yes, we have. We have had a very intense one. I could probably do a whole nother show on ritual and moon charting and journaling, but the effect of the lunar pull on humans is really intense. And if you're new to ritual, it's a really good way to begin with just charting the moon, charting how you feel during certain phases.
Yeah.
Of the moon, and then building simple ritual off of that that feels good to you. There's no rules. You don't need a book. You don't need a teacher. But just what feels right to you. But it needs to start with charting and journaling how you feel in accordance to lunar cycle.
Also has to be, you have to trust yourself. Trust is a big part of this, I think. Tiffany, thank you. This has been very instructive. The best way to find or connect is just to go to Instagram at Tiffany Maloney.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I was surprised at myself how much energy I had. And, you know, I'm doing two jobs, running around like a maniac, and I was able to handle it. Really, I'm like, wow, this stuff is really good. So, you know, more than anything else, it's it just gave me the extra energy and the well-being, feeling of well-being that I don't think I would have without it.
I take it every day, and I feel great. And my wife looks at me and says, how come you never get sick? And I do. It's because I take the fruits and veggies.
I just feel a lot better. My life has turned around. Everything is working for me.
It just helps me feel good. I just think the products are wonderful, and I take them every day. I just like it. It works.
When you call, use discount code DJV, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code DJV.
Every week I try to spend some time with my friend Uri Geller, who is a paranormalist, a motivator. I think that's his best trait at the moment. He's doing a lot of live shows in his native Israel, and I believe he's working on one right now. Hi, Uri.
Hey, Doug. Hi. I'm in a kind of a smaller town than Tel Aviv called Rishon. Shimi just photographed me. The photo is on the way to you.
Yes.
And you will see it's a lovely theater, very nice stage, but this is only where we are rehearsing. The big show will be elsewhere in serious theaters.
So this is just a different extension. What do people get from... I was just talking to a lady who did a lot of yogas, teaching people individually. Isn't what we do here, whether I'm on the radio, you doing face-to-face things, presentations in a live theater setting, isn't it all about teaching, exposing people to different ideas? Isn't that really basically the bottom line here?
Well, Doug, you know that, as they say, the whole world is a stage. We are actors all the time on the stage. Mm-hmm. And what I'm basically doing, I'm reinventing Uri Geller from a very different angle. It's basically comedy. Nancy Brandes is very famous in Israel. He's a serious musician, conductor, pianist, but he's also a stand-up comedian. Everyone knows him in Israel. He's my age, and we basically tailored a very funny show directed by Naor Tahan, yes? Did I say it the right way? Naor is sitting in front of me. He's a brilliant director, and he's giving us instructions how to create the charisma, the charm, the power, the tempo of the show. Because what I did notice, that this is very interesting, 50 years ago, when I did performances on Israeli stages, everything was in a much slower pace. Mm-hmm. Today, everything is bang, 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 bang. If all comedians, all actors really talk fast, it's almost like a new genre, a new generation of young people who kind of switch the way their mentality thinks, and they think much faster. And that's how it is. So we have to keep up with the theory that we have to deliver our lines very quickly and very funnily.
Well, the thing that is, we're all, because of, I suppose, some people blame it on technology. I just think that in a more specific sense, the paranormal side, as I was thinking this the other day, here in America, it was National Paranormal Day. People who believe in paranormal activities getting together to share experiences. And one thing that came out of it was the discussion of time and whether or not time is really speeding up. Does it seem that way, or is the Earth moving faster on its axis? Are we moving faster through the universe? There are all kinds of, there are more questions than there are answers. And I said that earlier today.
No.
Go ahead.
You know, Doug, it's funny that you bring up time, because I have a line in the show that I say, well, since you mentioned time, you know, time is relative. And it is truly so, because we really don't know how time works on our minds, how it works in the universe. It could be totally entanglement, meaning we are probably in a quantum entanglement journey, which could even explain, and this is far out and very science fiction-y, that maybe you now talking to me, you're creating me. I don't really exist. Mm-hmm. And it could be that while I'm talking to you, you don't exist. I'm creating you. I mean, it is that far out.
Yeah.
But, you know, in Israel, politics is a big topic, and you probably all of America read how we managed to steal the Iranian secrets of nuclear, the nuclear plan to yep. create a nuclear weapon. I'm sure that all the news agencies and television, Fox News and CBS News and NBC News covered the clever way the Mossad manipulated those secrets out of Iran. I think this must go down as the greatest intelligence feat ever in the history of the CIA, of the Mossad, of MI5, and the rest of the world.
Well, you know, services. There's that, and then there's the controversy, which is contrived, as far as I'm concerned, about whether the U.S. Embassy belongs in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv. To me, as somebody who's an Israeli watcher, I can't imagine that it really makes any difference other than to give some credibility to Jerusalem being the holy city or belonging to Israel or however it is you want to slice it. Anytime you and I have walked around in the old city of Jerusalem, it's amazing. And you've said this to me, if you said it once, you've said it 100 times, how well the people who've grown up there, who were Christians, Jews, or Muslims, all get along. It's this outside influence that comes from people who want to stir the pot for whatever their reason. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, I myself live in old Jaffa, and there are Muslims living there. There are Arab Christians, Jews, and I haven't felt any kind of a negative streak in the community. But, hey, you know, we're at war nonstop. The Iranians want to annihilate us. They want to destroy Israel. This is why we have to be all the time vigilant, up and thinking of what's the next step to keep Israel alive and well. Because let's face it, Doug, a big part of the Arab world doesn't want to see Israel on the map. And you know that. You've been here.
Yeah.
You felt that.
It's the continuing flow of ignorance and bad information and people in their hatreds, which does nothing. And you sort of wonder, you know, in the context of this program, which is aimed at getting people to think better about their own lives and to make their lives better, whether it's movies, documentaries, books, television, whatever you can take. And I guess I'm thinking about this specifically with regard to paranormal, but you can, there are other great messages that come from all of these experiences. Why do people feel like they have to go down this negative road? It really is very discouraging, frankly, sometimes. But
absolutely. Let's talk about it next week. Lots of love to all of you.
All right. Good luck with your stage performance. Uri Geller here on your HiddenPowerShow.com for all things that connect to this program, including Mary O'Malley, who is our psychic scout. You can get to her by going to PsychicScout.com. She is someone who offers great comfort. And in a time when you need comfort, I know your mom just passed away, I send you my hopefully healing thoughts and words. It's never easy to lose a loved one. I actually lost somebody very close to me last week as well. And but you know what? I look at it this way. You know, it's Mother's Day, and you're going to be thinking about your mother for sure. But given what usually goes on with people when they pass, unless it's sudden, it's not easy, but you know that mm-hmm. they're in a better place, a better reality. Or at least that's the way I feel about this fella who died. He was having a miserable time for 3 years with a really bad kind of cancer. And you know, you can argue that he ought not to have gone through it because he was a good guy. You know, I don't get involved in those arguments anymore. I just thank my lucky stars they were in my life, and you probably the same. With
exactly.
Yeah. So just you keep moving. I guess I was thinking about this with regard to you and your mother. And we say when people go off, when they die, they go to meet God. Let's say your mother's meeting God, or you are, and you get one question. What's the question that you
ask?
One question. You meet God, you get one question. What is it?
How soon can I come back?
How soon are you getting back here? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think being human and all the ups and downs and the feelings and emotions and experiences and the beauty of just being on the planet, I think I'd want to know, how soon can I come back?
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people, I know somebody very well who hopes this is her last life. Hope she doesn't have to go through anymore. I told her that's not the case because she still has a lot of lessons to learn. I'm not sure she wants to hear that, but there are. And does it sound egotistical for somebody to say that? If you say that to one of your clients, well, you're going to be back because you have a lot of lessons to learn, is that presumptive on your part?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. A minister in a Unity church explained to me once that it was like going to school. You know, every year gets a little harder and harder and harder. And, you know, those are the ones with the hardest lives are generally the ones most evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Or
all right, hold on. Stop. Let's back up on that a little bit. Did I hear you correctly? The ones who are most evolved are the ones who have the most problems in their life?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Think about it. You know, the harder the life, it means they've already graduated through a few things.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, now they're into the tough stuff. You know, now they're going for the doctorate or the, you know.
That's a very interesting.
And it made sense.
Yeah. I've asked recently a few friends of mine who are pretty sensitive why it is that I have a wonderful life and give thanks mm-hmm. every day for the blessings that I have. But things have not come easy to me. And one wonders, you know, why the radio work I chose to do it the way that I do, and the farm has been a difficult reality, but yet it's a part of my DNA, and relationships are not easy for me, especially with a couple of people that have been, you know, part of my life, not just in this life, but before. And
mm-hmm.
so you're saying that I'm having a good life then, if I hear you correctly.
Well, that was what the minister said. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. I think it's all about what we choose to experience at any given time before we, you know, come down to the planet,
mm-hmm.
what feelings we want to experience, what energies we want to create while we're here.
When you say that to people, you were, I remember the first time, this really made a lot of sense to me. You choose your parents because you need to have that experience. You mm-hmm. choose the time you come in. You choose your experiences as you head in. And when people say, that's crazy. What are you talking about? You're nuts. But I think it makes perfect sense.
It does. It does. You know, if free will is free will, and that means from beginning to end. So we must have some say-so in how we choose to come in and experience.
Well, it's the only thing that makes sense about the tragedy or the tough stuff is that we're making our own choices. These are very important things to realize. You can get a lot of intuition by dealing with Mary and her website, psychicscout.com. If you mention that you heard her on the program, $25 discount when you are going through the things you need to learn. Thank you, Mary. Mary O'Malley here on Your Hidden Power.